Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. This is the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name is John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas. We're glad that you're here with us this morning. Hey, I wanted to share a few short thoughts with you before we jump into what we want to talk about this morning. I like this. In school, you're taught a lesson and then you're given a test. In life, you're given a test that teaches you a lesson. I thought that was pretty good. And then here's another one. Life isn't all about getting what you need from people. Sometimes you're put with someone because you have what they need. I thought that was good. Sometimes we think it's all about ourselves, and yet sometimes God puts us in places and positions and with people because we have something that they need. And so, boy, let's think about that as we listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by 10th Avenue North called Worn. And, you know, sometimes life just seems really heavy and difficult and hard, and sometimes we're tired and we're worn out. That's what this song is all about. We need to realize that God is there for us, that God wants us to call on Him, that God wants us to share all the hurt and the sorrow and the anger and the frustration and the joy and the pain and everything else with Him, because He understands. He was just like one of us in Christ. Jesus was the exact representation of God in flesh. And so our God understands us. Not only is He our creator, but He became one of us so that we could better understand Him. And so let's listen to 10th Avenue North sing Worn as we start out this morning.
Just won't let up, and I know I'm worn, I've lost my will to fight. I'm worn, so heaven come and flood my
Alright, we're back this morning, and I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 69 if you would like to do that. If not, you can just listen as I read through this psalm this morning. And as we read through this psalm, I think you'll see why there are many, many, many things that are a part of this psalm that are what is referred to as messianic prophecies or parts of this psalm. Now, of course, this psalm is attributed to David, and David wrote many of the psalms, and of course, being a direct descendant in the line of Jesus, as part of his genealogy, who God said the Messiah would come through, it's not really surprising that many of David's psalms have statements about the Messiah that was going to come in the future. So we'll try to point some of those things out as we go through here. But what I want you to see as you go through here is that life is difficult sometimes. And I think we know that. But when we're going through those difficulties, when we're tired, when we're worn, again, as I said at the beginning of the broadcast, we need to call on God. We need to call out to our Creator, to our God, to the one who loves us and who cares about us. And so many people go through so many difficult things in life, and they deal with the consequences and all the trials and the difficulties of life, and they get depressed because they think they're by themselves, and they don't think they can call out to the Lord because, you know, somehow this is his fault, or they blame him, or they think that God's angry with them all the time. I want you to know that God loves us, okay? Sure, he gets angry with us sometimes. Just like as a parent, you get angry with your children sometimes. But I want you to know that God loves us. Just like a parent loves a child, God loves us. He wants what's best for us. There's some times that I've had to tell my kids, look, we're not against you. We love you. We care about you. When we tell you things, it's not to make your life miserable. It's to help you to recognize life and to see it and not make some of the same mistakes your parents made. And so let's read Psalm 69 and think about some of these things together about how God is there for us. Verse 1 says, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I've come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. I am worn out, calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail, looking for my God. Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs of my head. Many are my enemies without cause, those who seek to destroy me. I am forced to restore what I did not steal. You, God, know my folly. My guilt is not hidden from you. Lord, the Lord Almighty, may those who hope in you not be disgraced because of me. God of Israel, may those who seek you not be put to shame because of me. For I endure scorn for your sake, and shame covers my face. I am a foreigner to my own family, a stranger to my own mother's children. For zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me. I hope you caught that one about Jesus. Zeal for your house consumes me. He goes on to say in verse 10, when I weep and fast, I must endure scorn. When I put on sackcloth, people make sport of me. Those who sit at the gate mock me. I am the song of the drunkards. But I pray to you, Lord, in the time of your favor. In your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters. Do not let the flood waters engulf me, or the depths swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, Lord, out of the goodness of your love. In your great mercy, turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble. Come near and rescue me. Deliver me because of my foes. You know how I am scorned, disgraced, and shamed. All my enemies are before you. Scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. Again, another reference to Jesus when he was on the cross. May the table set before them become a snare. May it become retribution and a trap. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see and their backs be bent forever. Pour out your wrath on them. Let your fierce anger overtake them. May their place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in their tents. For they persecute those you wound and talk about the pain of those you hurt. Charge them with crime upon crime. Do not let them share in your salvation. May they be blotted out from the book of life and not be listed with the righteous. But as for me, afflicted and in pain, may your salvation, God, protect me. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hooves. The poor will see and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts live. The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his captive people. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and all that move in them. For God will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. Then people will settle there and possess it. The children of his servants will inherit it, and those who love his name will dwell there. I want to tell you that David went through lots of difficulty in his life. Satan was out to destroy David probably more than so many people, because he was the one that God said, this is the one through whom my Messiah is going to come. Just like he had Abram, just like he had Isaac, just like he had Jacob, just like he had Judah, all the way down through the line of Judah, through the house of Jesse to David himself. And so, you know, Satan was after David in a big way, and yet God was there for him. Sometimes it felt to David, even like it does to us sometimes, that, God, where are you? And wow, I don't understand all of these trials. And yet David knew that his comfort was in God's salvation. He knew that God was going to deliver him somehow. And that's what we need to do. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to make sure that we don't get so caught up in ourselves that we think that God is just there for what we need. In a lot of ways, we're here because of what God wants and how God can use us in his kingdom. And that's an awesome, amazing, wonderful thing. And I hope that as you read the Word of God, that as you seek after God yourself, that you'll be pleased to know how good he is, and that you can call on him and pour out your heart to him. We were just talking in Philippians 4 about how we can take all these things to the Lord. We can cast all our anxieties on him, that we can bring our prayers to him and our frustrations, and God will answer those according to his will. I'll tell you what, we have a worthy God. We have a worthy Savior. He is worthy of our praise and our prayers, and he is worthy to seek after and to follow and to be obedient to. God wants us to not turn away from him, but to walk with him. And so if you're out there this morning and you're thinking about and considering whether or not following Jesus is the right thing, I want to let you know it is. And if you had followed him at one time but turned your back against him or turned away from him because of some trial or something in your life, now's the time to turn back to him. It wasn't Jesus' fault. It wasn't maybe anybody's fault. It may have been just circumstances, and God knows those, and he knows that sometimes those things are there to turn us to him so that he can comfort us and so that he can let us know that he loves us and cares about us. And so I hope you know that Jesus is a worthy Savior. I hope you know that Jesus is the only Savior. There's no other salvation given to men except through the Son of God. And so no amount of good things you can do, no amount of money you can spend, no amount of helping people, none of those things is good enough to be saved. But the grace of God can save our souls. And he does that through the Lord Jesus Christ and through his sacrifice on the cross. We'll talk more about that when we come back, but let's listen to our second song. This is a song by Andrew Peterson called "He Is Worthy." And it's really interesting because he kind of asks it as a question, and the answer always comes back, "He is." And so let's listen to Andrew Peterson saying, "He is worthy."
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
We do.
Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming?
Is
the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us? Does the Spirit move among us? And is Jesus our Messiah? Hold forever those he loves. Does our God intend to dwell again with us? Is he worthy?
Back again this morning, and what a great song that is. He is worthy, and I hope you know that. Now, I want to spend this next little session talking about 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Chapter 3 talks about the sufferings of Christ. And so chapter 4, verse 1, starts off with therefore. And it says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for human evil desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. Okay, Peter's saying, guys, wait a minute. Christ suffered to save you from all this stuff, not so you could just keep right on living in it. You see, the worthiness of Christ comes from that he was willing to die for us while we were still sinners. And so he says, listen, since Christ suffered and suffered in his body, not because of sin, but because of our sin, that whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. In other words, I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to pursue it anymore. We don't choose to live the rest of our lives for human desires, but for the will of God. That's what excites us. That's what we're interested in. And Peter reminded, we've spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do. Again, debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, detestable idolatry. None of those things sound very good, right? And then he goes on to say, they are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living. And they heap abuse on you. Ah, you bunch of goody two-shoes. How come you don't do anything with us? Because it's not God's will, that's why. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel is preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to the human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. In other words, you know, once we were dead in our sins and transgressions. And so the gospel is preached to those who are dead so that they might hear the truth and come to a knowledge and an understanding of God's grace. And so they wouldn't have to be judged by those things that they did in the body and the flesh, but they could live now according to God and according to his spirit. So much better. The gospel of Jesus Christ calls us out of darkness into light. It calls us away from conforming to the pattern of this world and having our minds transformed by the will and the word of God. He says in verse 7 of 1 Peter 4, the end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as a faithful steward of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Okay, man, doesn't that just, wow, it builds you up. It excites you. It gives you a purpose and meaning and a reason to live. And not just superficial things that the world thinks are important, but something you can really sink your teeth into. And realizing that, hey, the end of all things is near. How near? We don't know. But the point is, whether it's near or far or short time or long time, Jesus said, watch and be ready. And that's the kind of people we ought to want to be. We need to be people that in spite of all the circumstances, in spite of the fact that we're worn out, that there's difficulties, that there's enemies, that there's trials, that in all of this, we can rejoice. In fact, let me read this real quick to you. It says, we have our days where we feel we can't survive. Sometimes dreams are shattered. Friendships may fall apart. Loved ones may hurt us. Finances may worry us. Sickness may overtake us. We may even lose people we love. But God will always be there for us. Through even the toughest of times, never lose faith. Hold on to hope. Trust in God always. Hope has a name. His name is Jesus. And again, as we finish there in chapter 4 and the 11th verse, whatever we do, we should do it so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Amen. We're the church at Las Vegas. We'd love to have you come meet with us and worship Jesus and praise Him for all that He is and for all that He does for us. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain, Desert Inn. We're right on the corner of Decatur, South Decatur, and Pioneer. 3388 South Decatur. You can meet with us Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, or Wednesday evening we meet at 7 o'clock for Bible study and prayer. Love to have you meet. We had a few new people this Wednesday night, and we'd just love to see some more people. Those of you that have come previously, we'd love to see you again too. So come on back and visit us there. You can find out more about us online at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com, and there you can listen to old broadcasts or different messages, find out a little bit more about us, leave a comment or a question, any of those things you can do on our website. We also have a Facebook page and also an Instagram, and so The Church at Las Vegas. All right, until next time, thanks so much for listening. Until we meet again next week, Lord willing, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God bless you.